Welcome to Big Shakti's Light on Yoga and Meditation podcast. My name is Dr. Swami Shankardev. I'm a yoga acharya, medical doctor, psychotherapist, and Vedic astrologer. And I'm a co-creator of Big Shakti along with my partner, Jane Stevenson. This podcast is dedicated to providing you with authentic, accurate knowledge and access to a range of powerful techniques from different wisdom traditions to achieve health, enlightenment, and prosperity. We're also very interested in how to use yoga and meditation to increase both lifespan and health span, to reduce chronic illness, to improve physical and mental resilience, and to accelerate your spiritual evolution. 20 years ago, I gave a small talk to a group of people, a group of very sincere yoga students, on selfless service and becoming heart present as a way of experiencing something greater in oneself. And we're going to present that talk today in this podcast episode. But before we do, I thought it important to talk about selfless service and see it as something that helps us to transcend the limits of the ego. Selfless service is a fundamental aspect of karma yoga, and it represents not only a profound spiritual path, but it's also a very potent method for chakra purification and the awakening of kundalini. However, engaging in genuine selflessness can be very challenging. Our desire to give is often tainted by the ego's inclination towards self-preservation and self-interest. And this duality is a natural function of the ego. It drives us to protect and nourish ourselves, to seek pleasure and to avoid pain. And while this self-care is healthy, if we become entangled in egoic identity and its limited capacity for self-perception, we neglect our broader existence and our deeper selves. So to better understand selfless service, we must first recognize that there's a distinction between the mind and consciousness, that we create this distinction in order to describe the reality of what we're experiencing now. Whereas if we're in the fully enlightened state, the mind is experienced as an expression of consciousness. But prior to that state, to the state we're in now, the state prior to self-realization, our awareness revolves around an egoic center and a thinking mind, which is full of habitual patterns. It is this ego that enables us to be both selfless and selfish. And so by classifying consciousness and mind as separate, we're aiming to learn how to disentangle ourselves from over-involvement in the thinking mind and to reconnect with our true peaceful nature, which is the essential step in cultivating self-service. And of course, this practice is called antarmon or inner silence, and we do have the meditations available on our website. This recognition of the difference between consciousness and ego or mind becomes even more crucial when we're examining the current state of the world. The state of evolution of consciousness at a societal level is undergoing a major transformation, and for the planet to survive and thrive, we have to make a leap from a limited state of consciousness where small groups struggle to maintain old, redundant ways, a kind of me versus them mentality, to a more global and inclusive mindset in which we see all beings as ourselves. If we don't engage in regular self-awareness practice, we're going to be trapped in the mind, and our state of consciousness will be unstable, fluctuating. There'll be periods of presence and absence. And when there's absence, the self is absent, we become caught up in the ego and the mind and lost in endless thoughts, desires, and emotions. Our center has shifted from the self, from the highest self, from consciousness, to the ego and thinking mind. And it's only through the practice of self-awareness that we can regain a more stable center, which is a self from which to engage with life. So this is why we highly recommend the practice of inner silence. And it's a practice that many students neglect, but without self-awareness, without inner silence, as a fundamental part of your meditation program, is very hard to move forward. You'll get to a certain point and then you'll be stuck. It's very interesting that the fluctuation of consciousness and the conscious mind becomes particularly apparent during meditation as thoughts and mental patterns arise, pulling us either into restless, desire-driven states called rajas or lethargic, torpid conditions called tamas. And this instability stems from the imbalance of individual consciousness hindering our ability to connect with the true, peaceful inner nature. To address this, we need to practice certain disciplines that stabilize awareness. This is crucial. Through the process of stabilizing awareness called dharana and expanding consciousness, the metaphorical flame of awareness transforms from a flickering candle to a radiant sun and illuminates the truth of our being. And this expansion enables us to transcend the limited self and recognize our deep interconnectedness with all beings. And it's now that we can really practice selfless service. And this journey towards selflessness involves diminishing the ego's dominance, allowing higher consciousness to prevail. And of course, initially selfish tendencies may persist. And they're driven by the ego's incessant demands for self-gratification and recognition. However, as our inner light grows brighter from our practice, the ego's influence diminishes and true selfless service emerges as a natural expression of our expanded awareness. So this takes time. It takes time and introspection. It requires that you nourish yourself while at the same time you serve others. It's sort of like when you're on a plane, the oxygen mask comes down, that you have to look after yourself first before you look after others. True selfless service is rooted in altruism, and it serves as a catalyst for kundalini awakening. Living in a contracted, selfish state means that higher cosmic energy can't flow into and then out of you. It becomes trapped within us, trapped in our attachments and the desires to hang on to and own that cosmic energy and knowledge. Selfless service, on the other hand, enables cosmic energy to flow through us so that we surrender to something greater in us, and then we can experience the bliss that comes when we forge an authentic connection to the highest self.
The following talk was given by Dr. Swami Shankadev to the students of the Yogic Studies course in February 2005. This talk arose from a question from one of the students who was struggling to practice service, an aspect of Karma Yoga. It discusses our capacity to give true service and how to manage the ego, and it illuminates the nature of the mind and how to connect our mind to a more developed and conscious state of being. It discusses how, even in enlightened states, the ego still exists and needs to be managed, that ego is only eradicated at the very last stage of human evolution. One of the best methods to attain the higher awareness required for authentic selfless service is a japa-jap meditation. A japa-jap forges a path between our individual self and the universal self, and it allows us to act with an awareness of the universal within our individual life. It reduces the power of the ego, develops and hones the intuition, and awakens the heart. For more information and resources on yoga and meditation, please go to bigshakti.com.
Service is one of the great spiritual traditions. And in itself, it is a path. In fact, in terms of purification of chakras, it's probably one of the most potent methods. And true service, true selfless service, the capacity to really give, it's not easy. Most of us live in a kind of a dual mental state in which we want to give, but another part of us is always looking for what is in it for me. And that is the natural function of the ego as a self-preserving force. The ego's job is to protect you and to nourish you, and to make sure that you're healthy. To go towards the things that you enjoy and that nourish you, and to stay away from things that hurt you. So that's normal, that's healthy. The problem with that is that if we're caught up in that limited part of the self, then we're ignoring the other bigger part. The reason we do this is because our awareness is contracted. At the present stage of evolution of consciousness in the society, the consciousness, the individual awareness is fluctuating. It's not steady. It's small and it's fluctuating. So it's present for periods of time and then it goes out. Right? You know the experience? In meditation, when you sit for meditation, that's when you become very aware of how the awareness is functioning. You sit down, you try to focus, and then the mental patterns emerge. And you simply get caught up in those, or you sleep. There are two things that occur, the rajasic state of restlessness, or the tamasic state of sleep. This happens because the citta is unstable. It's not balanced. And we get through practice, through discipline, through the practices that cultivate consciousness, we stabilize the awareness. So there are two things, let's say, there are two things here. One is mental patterns, and the other is consciousness. And these are two different things, right? You're aware of this, right? This is important, that consciousness and mind are classified as two separate things in order that we can disentangle ourselves from over-involvement in thinking and start to reconnect back to a deeper part of ourselves, that is the true self, that is, by nature, peaceful. The nature of consciousness is nothing. It has no characteristics. The nature of consciousness is totally empty. It has no characteristics, it is unchanging, and it is eternal. And you are that. You are that consciousness, that unchanging, eternal principle. But we've lost the connection. We've lost the identification with that, and we've become identified with little mind, little ego, the body. Because of lifestyle, lack of training, social factors, and so on, the awareness is not stabilized. So it's like a flame that flickers in and out. And what we live in is a kind of a diminished awareness. In a dark room, trying to find a light. And the first step in yoga is to stabilize the awareness, stabilize the mind, number one, the patterns of the mind, which like a mirror, when it is cleaned, or like the ocean, when the ripples begin to subside, when the storms settle down, begins to reflect back the truth. The mind begins to reflect back the truth of who you are and what you are. And then, once that stabilization has occurred, which is called dharana, concentration, then arises the process of expansion of consciousness. And at the moment, the little flame of awareness is fluctuating. When it's stabilized, it's like a little flame, like a little candle in the darkness, but stable. When that flame is cultivated through various processes and is allowed to expand, it begins to shine with much more force, and it reveals to you all that you are. So if we're sitting in a big room with a little flame, we can see so much. I have a candle, the light goes out, we have a candle. We can see a little bit. If I can turn the light on, I can see the whole room. Think of the difference in power between a candle flame and the sun. The sun illumines all of space. Yes? And at night, when the sun goes out, we think, okay, it's better to go to bed. Go into the darkness. But when the sun comes up, it pulls us out of bed. The sun brings the life out, illuminates the space. It is the same in spiritual life. We are identified with the little mind and with the tiny body because the awareness is not big enough to reveal what we truly are. We just can't see it. We can't experience it. So even if we want to, we can't. But as this inner light becomes clearer, we begin to see the truth of who we are. That I am not just this little me. That I'm something greater. And that each one of us is interdependent. That we are interacting at levels that are unseen, invisible, hard to experience, what they call secret or esoteric, because you can't be aware of them only. This is called the awakening of the little flame in the heart. The little flame in the heart becomes steady. That flame, that's your little consciousness. And it becomes connected to the strength of consciousness in the Sahasrara, which is like a million suns shining. It begins to become illumined, so the darkness becomes revealed a bit. And only then can service come from a true recognition that it's really the only way to be. There is no other choice. Until that time, and of course even then, selfishness is there. But it's just like a voice in the background nagging. Yeah? Just saying, what about me? What about me? What am I getting out of this? And you're going, yeah, sure, okay, you know. Before that time, that voice is loud. So everything that's done is calculated. And the little ego, which takes supremacy, it begins to think, always planning. Constantly, all of your energy and resources are planning. So even service that we do from that perspective is planned service. I should feel good. I will get some benefit from this, yeah? I will become spiritual. Do you follow? People will look at me and recognize the spirituality in me. And that'll be great. So it's constantly driven by a magnetic pull back to that center, the egoic center. Whereas when the higher centers begin to operate, then that center is not eradicated, but simply it's the force is drowned out by the other, by the more, like the shadow. It's a shadow. The shadow's there, but the light is there. Until that time, darkness, ignorance. You know, it's very hard to have the heart open and supported and fully loving. And fully able to receive love. It's difficult. As much as we want it, we're always protecting the heart. So to do true service, to really practice service is a great thing. And certainly, in our tradition, one of the great sayings that we have is, fake it until you can make it. Practice service. Have a go. And in the process, keep swadhyaya. Keep your self-analysis going. Notice what's really going on. How invested are you in getting something back? And just keep moving forward and self-observing and recognizing who you are and where you're at in your life. And if you're beyond that point, wonderful. But for most of us, this is the stage where we have to cultivate. To do service that is genuinely spiritually uplifting for you and others takes time to learn how And we certainly have to go through a process of kind of growing up at that level. Karma Yoga is the practice of service. Bhakti Yoga, these are practices that we can begin to study, begin to contemplate, begin to think about, and so on. And until that time, we emphasize keeping your body healthy. And we emphasize doing a routine of sadhana, asana, pranayama, and simple meditation practices, which are good for you. Because having said that we must, that true service is a very difficult thing to do. To be truly selfless is difficult. Selflessness does not mean you don't look after yourself. Right? You must nourish yourself in order to nourish others. Therefore, when you get on the plane, you're told, mask on you first, then on the kid. The mask on you. You put your mask on. Even though you love your kid and you want the mask on the kid, best thing for the kid is you take your mask first. In the same way, nature, this is natural principle, nature feeds itself first before it feeds others. So the heart takes blood first, takes the first blood, best blood. Yeah? Straight out of the heart, full red solid blood into the coronary vessels, and then it spreads the blood everywhere else. Otherwise, the pump stops. So this idea of selflessness is not a self-abnegation, but it's simply an expanded vision. And until that time, we use different methods which allow the body-mind to be prepared and the nervous system to be prepared to truly handle the energy, to handle the awareness, to support a stabilized mind that you look after yourself. So we engage in asana, pranayama, meditation, a little practice that looks after ourselves, and then we prepare to take on higher practices, and one of the great practices is service. And true service awakens kundalini. True service awakens the kundalini. And until you practice with others in mind, your practice will never really flow. It'll always be stagnant. It'll always be stagnant. Because everything you do for yourself, you must imagine, I'm doing this for the well-being of others.
If you would like to know more about what we do at Big Shakti, please go to www.bigshakti.com, where you can see all of our products and offerings. And you can sign up for our free newsletter. And subscribers, of course, get generous discounts on all our products from time to time, especially when we release a new course. And we do have courses for everyone, from beginners on the path to yoga teachers and sincere aspirants. And many of our courses are downloadable and can be done in your own time. And we also run live online training every year. All of our courses provide you with the opportunity to experience and understand the powers and mysteries of your mind and spirit. Unwind, take a break from your daily activities, and learn how to use different forms of meditation to achieve inner tranquility, happiness, fulfillment, and spiritual awakening. You will learn the keys to a healthy lifestyle, a calm, clear mind, emotional resilience, and spiritual insight.